Hail, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests. And, well, today our guest is David Whitney from the Institute of the Constitution, and we're going to be talking about the Constitution. Now, to a lot of people, that's sort of a dry subject, but it shouldn't be. The only way we will ever be able to reclaim our freedom is for the American people to, you know, hate tyranny as much as they hate freedom. There are a lot of people who just as soon be taken care of, provided for, have Big Brother, have the state look after us and provide for us, but you can't do that and have freedom. Or we want to get our goodies from the government, we just don't want other people to get theirs, and we're going to fight over the spoils. And you don't understand that freedom is one ball of wax. You either limit the power of government and you're free, or you allow government to expand and you cannot stop government from expanding once you remove the shackles of the Constitution from them. So you need to understand why our founding fathers created the government the way they did, and why we must return and never compromise those principles. Never, never, never again. So with that as a background, David Whitney from the Institute of the Constitution, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Dr. Stan. It's always a blessing to be on your show and speak with people who care about their government, care about what's going on in our land, because our rights are being taken away bit by bit because the shackles of the Constitution have been removed from the federal government, and we can talk about state governments in a similar fashion, but focusing mostly on the federal government as we speak about the United States Constitution. And last time we were speaking about the Bill of Rights, and actually we began looking at the First Amendment in some detail, but it's important to remember that the Bill of Rights are a restraining power that says the federal government cannot go outside the boundaries established by the Bill of Rights. And of course, the first of the Bill of Rights, both in number and also in importance, establishes religious freedom. And our founders knew that religious liberty is actually a biblical concept. It comes from the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, that God calls each man to worship him, and each man is obligated to worship God and to do so according to the dictates of God's word and his conscience. And that is not a realm, that is, the religious worship, is not a realm into which the civil government is allowed to intrude. The purpose of this First Amendment is to prevent the civil government, in this case, particularly the federal government, from intruding upon or having any interference with the functions of the church. And as they established the phraseology there, it's a very important to understand that the Establishment Clause says that Congress shall not establish any broad national denomination, as they had in England. The Church of England was the Church of the State. It was a state church structure where the government taxed people, and those taxes went to pay for the churches and the maintenance of the churches and so on. At the federal level, this was impermissible. We need to note also that it was not impermissible at the state level. That's why it says Congress shall not make any laws respecting the establishment of religion. Just Congress is, in other words, just the federal government is restricted in this instance, not the state government. And we know that is clearly established because 9 of the 13 states at the time of the adoption of the First Amendment had established state churches.
Amen to that. Well, I think it's so important that people understand the foundation, this whole idea that the Bill of Rights was to limit the power of the federal government, not to limit the power of the state government. Matters with life, liberty, and property were to be taken care of by the state.
Technology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
The Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
If you're tired of spending a small fortune every time you fill up, now you can do something about it. Ethos FR, a product used all over the world, has reported savings of up to 19% on gas and even reduced emissions of up to 30%. Ethos FR is easy to use and works with any kind of fuel, including gasoline, diesel, and ethanol. Ethos FR works by reformulating the gas in your tank to burn more completely, resulting in a cleaner engine, better mileage, more power, and fewer emissions. So visit ctsafegas.com and start saving today. That's ctsafegas.com.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we were just saying that before we went to the break, that if you read the Federalist Papers, you'll find out that matters dealing with life, liberty, and even on property were to be dealt with at the state level. The federal government was to have nothing to do with life, liberty, or property, or with the individual at home. And, of course, all of this has been forgotten. People don't understand the Constitution. They have intentionally deleted this from our schools, our law schools, our political science courses, because there are those people who really do believe in a ruling aristocracy, and the only way they can accomplish their goal is to deceive the American people, to do an end run around the Constitution, to violate the agreement that they have to defend our Constitution against all enemies, public and private, or foreign and domestic is the exact terminology. And we have many people in Washington, D.C., who are domestic enemies of our Constitution. And until you understand what the Constitution really says, you can't understand what they're doing and how these traitors are betraying not only us, but generations yet unborn. So with that as a background, David, you pick up the story.
Well, as we look at the First Amendment, today we find that the misinterpretation of the First Amendment is what prevails. Most people have heard of the wall of separation between church and state, and they believe it's actually in the First Amendment. It's not in the First Amendment. Actually, it's a false interpretation of that phrase itself. The phrase is not found anywhere in the Constitution. It's found in a letter Thomas Jefferson wrote to the Danbury Baptist in 1803, shortly after he took office as president. They wrote to him concerned about the rumor, and it was only a rumor, and he wrote to assure them that it was only a rumor, that he might try to impose some kind of national church or something like that. And being in Connecticut, they were under an established religious structure. That is, as Baptists, they could not participate in the state church structure that received tax revenues for the maintenance and support of the church, but nonetheless they had to pay taxes and so on to that state church that existed in Connecticut. Well, they were concerned about things they had heard from about Thomas Jefferson, and he wrote to assure them that there was no way that the federal government could in any way interfere in the affairs of the local church. It was not permissible because there was a wall separating the functions of the government, of civil government, from the functions of the church. But this has been misinterpreted today to say that Christianity has nothing to do, nothing to say, no part of at all our civil government, not only on the federal level, but the state level and so on and so forth. The result of this is things like taking the Bible out of the public schools, like, oh, you can't have the Bible in public school because that would be establishing religion. No. That's only on the federal level. The federal government cannot establish religion. The state government can. The county can. It can happen on a local level, but not on the federal level. Well, the misinterpretation of the First Amendment is largely at the feet of our Supreme Court, which, as you have said many times, Dr. Stan, early in the 20th century, came under the control of a group of all Masons were on the Supreme Court, and they had a specific agenda to eradicate Christianity from our civil public square, and they did a very successful job at that. One of their twistings of the original intent of the First Amendment is known as the Lemon Test. It was a case in 1971, Lemon v. Kurtzman, and they said you can test whether a statute, that is a piece of legislation, meets the wall of separation. Again, so they've piled misinterpretation upon misinterpretation. Wall of separation is not in the Constitution, not in the First Amendment. It's been misinterpreted to mean what it never meant, even in Thomas Jefferson's own letter. So they've taken that to a new level of misinterpretation, and the Lemon Test is that a statute must have a secular purpose. That is, if any piece of legislation is passed that doesn't have a strictly secular purpose, then they say, well, that's a violation of the wall of separation between church and state. Secondly, a statute must have as its primary effect not to advance or inhibit religion. Now, this is directly the opposite of what our founders said. For example, Chief Justice Joseph Story, in his Commentaries on the Constitution, written in 1833, he said the universal sentiment at the time of the First Amendment's adoption was that Christianity ought to receive encouragement from the state. That is, government should encourage Christianity. Why? Because as all of our founders said, for example, John Adams said, our Constitution is made only for a religious and moral people. By that he meant Christian people. It is wholly inadequate to the governance of any other. That is, our form of government is structured such that if people don't have a Christian moral system of values that is guiding them individually and as families and as communities, if they don't have that, our Constitution won't work. Our Constitution provides far too much liberty to the individuals that if individuals are not committed, for example, to obey the Ten Commandments, you're going to have murder and adultery and theft and so on just running rampant. Because our system of liberty is based upon an assumption of self-government on the part of the individuals. That is, we don't have to have 10 million policemen watching us because we're our own policemen, guarding and checking our own behavior so that we don't act in sinful ways that violate the law of God. However, if you have a population that's not Christian, that's not religious and moral, as John Adams said, it won't work. Our Constitution simply won't work because the people will have too much liberty that will allow them to violate God's law, and nobody's rights will be safe in that kind of situation. And so this Lemon Test is actually stating the exact opposite of what our founders clearly established. The Lemon Test says that no piece of legislation can have as its primary effect to advance or inhibit religion. Then the third fork, so to speak, of the Lemon test was that the legislation must not constitute excessive entanglements of government with religion. Now, on the federal level, that is applicable, but not on the state level. We've seen that in the history of our country with established churches. So they're actually reading something into the First Amendment that was never intended by the First Amendment itself. And the debate over the Lemon test goes on to our day, and sometimes it's used, and other times it's ignored. Justice Antonin Scalia, he wrote that the Lemon stalks our Establishment Clause jurisprudence once again, frightening the little children of the school attorneys for Santa Mauritius Union Free School District. That was a case where they wanted to show Dobson films for community family night kind of thing, and all the school board said, no, you can't even rent the school to do such a religious activity. Oh, God forbid we should ever do such a thing. And so it went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and Justice Scalia saying, this is ridiculous. The Lemon test is being arbitrarily applied in some cases. Other places, it's being ignored. It's a very convenient tool for the tyrants, those in power in Washington, D.C., to foist whatever it is they want upon the people of our nation. Well, continuing with the other phrases of the First Amendment, and by the way, every phrase of the First Amendment really deals with the issue of religious freedom in all of its aspects. The second phrase that's very important, not only can Congress not establish a national state church, that's what the phrase means, the second thing is, nor can Congress prohibit the free exercise thereof, that is, the free exercise of religion. And the word exercise implies more than just words, it implies actions. That is, the government, the federal government here, cannot prohibit you from exercising the freedom to live your religious faith out as a Christian in any way, shape, or form. Now note very, very clearly here that it's not saying that religions that engage in immoral behavior are therefore given freedom to do so. For example, the Aztec religion was a religion where a human sacrifice of a living human being having their heart cut out while they were still alive was part of their worship. Well, this isn't saying that you can do that, that you can commit acts that are a violation of God's law, the laws of nature, and nature's God. No, it's saying if your religious practice is within the guidelines of Scripture, then you are free to exercise your religion. Now, the Supreme Court kind of twisted this a little bit in a case that was heard in 1972, with the Yoder, Wisconsin v. Yoder case, and they said this, well, does the individual have a sincere religious belief? In other words, the government's kind of looking at you and say, well, we're trying to figure out whether your religious belief is sincere or not. Secondly, does government action impose substantial burden upon the exercise of that religious belief? And thirdly, does government have a compelling interest that cannot be achieved by less restrictive means? So again, their interpretation of prohibiting the free exercise thereof gives far too much power to the federal government. The next phrase in the First Amendment, not only can they not prohibit the free exercise of your religion, thirdly, they cannot abridge the freedom of speech. Now, most people think at this point, oh, okay, the First Amendment has gotten away from religious things now, and now it's just talking about freedom of speech, and then later the freedom of the press. Not so. Every element of the First Amendment has to do, it is rooted in freedom of religion. The freedom of speech is the freedom to proclaim God's truth in the public square, not just within the four walls of the church. And so like what Chicago did a few years ago, the Southern Baptists were planning an evangelistic outreach, and one of the things they thought, they'd go to a big city like Chicago and pass out literature and witness to people on the street. And the city council of Chicago told them, no, sorry, you can't do that. You don't have that freedom to proselytize here. And that's often the attitude that's being adopted today. Well, the First Amendment says on the federal level, the federal government cannot abridge your freedom of speech. The premise being that truth is best determined by discussing all ideas rather than some bureaucrat establishing what is truth in the ministry of truth kind of thing that we see in George Orwell or Brave New World kind of ideas.
I'm going to have to interrupt you there. We're going to be having to go to a break, but we'll be back in just a moment with Pastor David Whitney from the Institute of the Constitution, and we'll be exploring the true meaning of the origin of our freedom.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes scholarships, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
Black Berkey purification elements are more powerful than any gravity filter element on the market. These awesome elements are used in Berkey purification systems, and they can also be used to upgrade most other gravity filtration systems. They can purify raw, untreated water by removing pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, trihalomethanes, and chemicals such as chlorine, atrazine, styrene, and MTBE. These elements also reduce unwanted heavy metals such as lead, mercury, and aluminum. Unbelievably, they even remove small microparticulate from water like food coloring particles. Yet, they leave in the nutritional minerals that your body needs. Moreover, because they are reclaimable, Black Berkey elements are more economical than the standard disposable elements, providing fresh, pure water for less than 2 cents per gallon.
Get a 2-pack for only $99 or a 4-pack for only $188 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Gold. It's like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Hello, this is Amy Bjorklund. Thanks to a quantum leap in garlic research, the health benefits of 20 fresh garlic cloves are now available in one tiny capsule. With stabilized allicin, the proven power of garlic has been transformed into what is perhaps the most important medicinal product ever developed, and there's no odor. Stabilized allicin gives you and your family a safe, natural weapon that kills harmful bacteria, viruses, and funguses, all without harming the friendly bacteria in the digestive tract. This means strong immunity, fewer and shorter colds, and the best possible protection from deadly diseases, none of which prescription drugs can offer. What's more, this product can deter mosquitoes from biting you and safely keep fleas and ticks off your pets. Visit truthandexcellence.com, click the Truth and Excellence banner on GCNlive.com, or call me, Amy Bjorklund, personally at 805-595-2711. 805-595-2711.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is Pastor David Whitney, and we're talking about this wonderful document that we have that so few Americans understand, and that's why every month we go over this again and again and again until you tend to understand that the whole idea of our Constitution was to take the chains off the people and limit the power of government. And as Thomas Jefferson said so well, in matters of politics, speak not to me of confidence in men, but bind them down for mischief by the chains of the Constitution. That's what it was all about. That's what freedom was about. Where did we go wrong? Why don't we teach that in school anymore? And the truth of the matter is, they don't want you to know that secret. So pick up the story, David.
Well, as we look at the aspects of the freedom of speech that is a religious freedom, a freedom to express truth, we need to understand that the general principle is that speech is protected. And the states which ratified the First Amendment also in their state constitutions have a very similar Bill of Rights and statements in the Bill of Rights regarding freedom of speech. And yet, the freedom of speech was designed with limits. It was freedom to proclaim God's truth, not freedom to blaspheme, not freedom to express obscenities, not freedom to print pornography. This was never involved in the freedom of speech, because the freedom of speech was a religious right, a religious freedom, a freedom to proclaim God's truth. It had nothing to do with the freedom to cuss and swear and blaspheme the name of God. In fact, all states, including my own state here, Maryland, had laws on the books that made blasphemy a crime, with a certain misdemeanor, with certain penalties attached to blasphemy, because it was not that you had the freedom to say anything you wanted to say. This, again, was a religious freedom. We know that certain forms of expression are outside the protection of the First Amendment. Speech that would present clear and present danger to national security or to public safety, such as if you're in a crowded theater, you do not have the freedom to yell fire. You can be charged with having fomented a public unrest, and it's a crime to do so. It's obviously not in the self-interest or the protection of the other people in the theater for you to be able to yell fire in that kind of setting. So, not the freedom to say anything you want to say. Furthermore, freedom of speech is restricted in that you do not have the freedom to solicit crime or violence. You don't have the freedom to say, I want to go find out who would be a hitman that would kill somebody I want to have killed. That's not freedom of speech. And again, if we understand that the freedom of speech is a religious freedom, freedom to declare God's truth, you do not have the freedom to commit crimes by your speech or to invite the commission of crime by your speech. Also, you don't have the freedom to use fighting words, words that would inflame and begin a conflict, a physical conflict and so on. As we already mentioned, you don't have the freedom to use obscenity or the freedom to defame or libel another person. So we need to remember that freedom of speech was not the freedom to say anything you wanted. Instead, it was the freedom to express God's truth in accordance with God's law. It was religious freedom of speech. And we need to remember that in a sense, freedom of speech is a two-edged sword. If we're to have the freedom to speak as we believe, we need to tolerate those whose speech we may not like or we might disagree with, providing it is not criminal and providing it is not a threat to public safety. The next clause of the First Amendment following the Freedom of Speech Clause is the freedom of the press. In other words, Congress does not have the power to abridge the freedom of the press. This, again, is a religious freedom, first and foremost. In that day, newspapers regularly published sermons. They printed a sermon that had been preached that Sunday, and the people avidly read that part of the paper. Perhaps they weren't attending the church where that sermon was preached, or perhaps it was a well-known pastor in another part of the country. Sermons were the primary thing that would attract people's attention to actually buy a newspaper in that day. Furthermore, when you talk about publication of books or pamphlets, again, many of these were sermons or they were expositions of Christian ideas. Most of what you would have found if you were jumping a time machine and go back to the era of our founders, most of the printing you would have found would have been religious. It would have been an expression of Christian truth that was being printed. And so this, again, is a freedom. The freedom of the press is really a religious freedom, not the freedom to publish pornography, not the freedom to publish obscenity or other impermissible forms of expression. Instead, it was the freedom to express God's truth in printed form. Just as Potter Stewart said, this clause gives the press special protection or preferred status as a check on government power.
Okay, hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution.
If you would like a copy of this show, come to GCNLive.com and reserve it today. Or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
Ladies, if you love to shop, then visit HerbalHealer.com to browse through their online catalog. You'll find thousands of effective, alternative, and natural products for you and the whole family. Besides the amazing products you'll find, this shopping is guilt-free because you're investing in your health, and your health is priceless. While online, sign up to receive the Herbal Healer newsletter, which will keep you informed on the latest and greatest products in education. Did you know that Herbal Healer offers not only natural medicine, but also tension-relieving herbal teas, cookbooks, aromatherapy, products for pampering, and more great products to help you soothe and relax after a long day. Want to learn more for yourself and to help others in the future? Join the Herbal Healer Correspondence Program. You can work at your own pace from the comfort of your own home. This accredited, exciting program can help you gain skills and knowledge. Can you believe you can find all this at one stop? HerbalHealer.com, celebrating 18 years of dedication.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at BerkeyWater.com.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest, Dr. Pastor David Whitney, and we're talking about the Constitution and what you should know about it. But before we go on, David, would you like to tell our listeners about the Institute, what you're trying to accomplish, and, of course, how people can get in touch with you and perhaps even get an introductory kit so they could begin to teach other people about the things we talk about here?
Yes, Dr. Stan, we Institute on the Constitution, our goal is to educate millions of Americans as to the original intent of the wording of our Declaration, our Constitution, the Bill of Rights that have been rejected by those in power today and actually are being violated. Our contract with our government in Washington, D.C. is being violated by those people who inhabit the seats of power there, even with the change of the changing of the guard that's taking place right now as a result of the Tuesday's election. The new set of people are just as committed to breaking and violating this contract that we the people have with our government. You know, if you make a contract with any businessman and that businessman, say a car repair shop, does the wrong thing or they do what you did not permit them to do, you have recourse. That is, you go take them to court and you can have a redress of your grievances. But when our government breaks the contract, we the people need to rise up and throw them out of the seats of power and put people into their places who are going to abide by that contract. But we the people can't do that if we don't know the contract, which is our Declaration, our Constitution, and our Bill of Rights. So we're teaching people these principles, and when we say teach, that is, it's a video series course on DVD or VHS that actually teaches them the material that we're going through here on the air in 12 sessions it's designed for. It can actually be done in fewer if you combine the sessions together. But Dr. John Eidsmo does the 12 half-hour lectures walking through the history, the Christian heritage, the philosophy of government of our founders, and then giving a working knowledge of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. These things are essential for each of us to be able to fulfill our duty as a citizen when we go to vote. We can evaluate the candidates based upon a standard, and that standard is our United States Constitution. Our host kit is designed to be a turnkey structure for anyone to conduct a class with any group of people. We now have 50 states where at least one class is being conducted. Many times they're done in churches, which is an excellent place because Christians of all people ought to be committed to fulfilling their God-given calling as Christian citizens, which begins with understanding our contract with our federal government, the U.S. Constitution. And they can get a hold of us and purchase a host kit by going online. We have an online bookstore, and they can go to our website is iotconline.com. That's iotconline.com. Or they can call us toll-free during the regular business hours here on the East Coast, and that toll-free number for Institute on the Constitution is 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. And I might mention that when someone purchases a host kit, we, as Institute on the Constitution, serve as a help to them. As questions may arise that they don't have answers to or aren't specifically addressed in the course, they can call us or email us and get the answers to their questions as they go through the material and communicate this to other people. And we're very encouraged, in spite of, you know, things like it took place here on Tuesday, we're encouraged as millions of Americans, we're moving towards gaining millions of Americans' attention with the fact of what our form of government is supposed to be, drastically different than what it is. And this is the great hope that we can return and restore our constitutional republic here in these sovereign states of America. As we seek to understand the truth and apply it as citizens.
Well, Amen to that. Google right ahead. Well, I think it's so important, and the reason is we have to keep stressing this over and over again is most people do not understand what has happened and how there has been an organized, orchestrated effort to conceal the truth about our Constitution, the most wonderful document ever written, short of the Bible, from the American people, and indeed from the people of the world. In fact, most people throughout the world know a lot more about our Constitution than most Americans do.
And, of course, as you mentioned earlier, that's on purpose. They don't want us to understand the Constitution because then they can get away with violating it and destroying our republic and enslaving all of us. That's their goal. But we can stop this agenda of these New World Order goons in their tracks if we understand that we have the power, because the power is rooted, we the people, in our contract with our government, which is the Constitution, that is the supreme law of the land. Well, we were talking about the freedom of the press, and Justice Potter Stewart's view is that this gives special protection and preferred status because the press can function as a check on government power. If you go back in history to the years just leading up to the War for Independence, it was the printing of the sermons and the proclamation of God's truth that was done by the press. That is, sermons were printed, pamphlets were printed, all of which pointed out what King George III as well as Parliament were doing in violation of the God-given rights of the citizens of the colonies. It was the press, in a sense, that led the way to the War for Independence and ultimately for our independence. As people gobbled up those sermons and those pamphlets that were written, and they began to understand that God has given rights, not to government, God has given rights to people, and the sole purpose of any civil government is to secure the God-given rights of we the people. And when a government does not secure our God-given rights, then it is also the right of we the people to overturn that government and to establish a government that will secure our God-given rights. And so I agree with Justice Potter Stewart in his statement that really this freedom of the press is a check against governmental power, which leads us directly into the final clause of the First Amendment, that Congress cannot pass any law against the right of the people to peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. That is, government cannot prevent people from criticizing it. Government cannot stop people from protesting against it. Government cannot stop people from being involved in seeking to change government to bring it back in line with the terms that we have formed in our contract with our government, that is the U.S. Constitution. Oh my goodness, today we see all kinds of attacks going on against this First Amendment, the right of the people to peaceably assemble, petition the government for redress of grievances. We have numerous examples where people have attempted to redress the government grievances over a number of different issues that we could name. And these protests have been shut down, they've been controlled, they're now being put in cages and say, okay, you've got a protest zone, but it's in this chained up cage, and that's all you can do right inside there. Now, that's not the design of our government. I know people have been arrested outside of places where the president was going to speak because they did not hold the right point of view. And this is abhorrent to the First Amendment. We the people have a right to say our government is doing something wrong and it needs to be corrected, and we have a standard by which to measure when it's doing something wrong, and that is this Constitution. So there's a whole series of things going on today with the Patriot Act that are saying that anybody who criticizes the government is to be considered a danger. No, that's not the not the case at all. From our founder's point of view, the danger is people who violate this First Amendment right. Those are the people who are to be forbidden to do their dirty deeds of seeking to repress the freedom of speech, the freedom of the press, or the freedom of the people to peaceably assemble and petition the government for redress of grievances. And our founders had this in the First Amendment because they repeatedly sought to redress their grievances with King George III. Again and again and again, those were trampled upon, and the king began to do actions like disband the legislature because the legislature was criticizing him. The government from England began to be tyrannical, increasingly so, in the colonies to stamp out what they called the rebellion. They called the War for Independence that rebellion, the colonial rebellion. It was not. The people of our land were simply reasserting their God-given rights as Englishmen, as had been done often in the history of the English nation. This was one of the factors that led to the Declaration of Independence, because as the government of England tried to suppress any protests, any grievances, and the people recognized, wait a minute, you do not have permission to do that. Nobody gave you, as the government, the permission to not allow we the people to have a redress of grievances. And it can be a safety valve against violence, because if people don't have an option for redressing their grievances with the government, their only other option is to take to the streets in riot or in civil war. And those are not the best means for which bringing about a change in the structure of government should take place. Well, our founders are very wise. When we look at the details here of the First Amendment, the most important rights we have are secured in this First Amendment, that our federal government is given no permission to establish a national religion, no permission to prohibit the free exercise of religion. If you take those first two clauses, you say, therefore, there's nothing the federal government has the right to do in controlling, regulating, or manipulating churches. And yet, that is exactly what the federal government is doing today. Every church that's a 501c3, every church that's incorporated, the federal government has its talons into that church, including what is preached from the pulpit. It has control over that church. Now, the way they get around violating the First Amendment is that they craftily persuade the churches to give up their First Amendment rights by becoming something other than a church, becoming a 501c3, which the IRS calls a religious organization. Well, what's a religious organization? And the IRS goes on to say that it has the right, it has the power to define which religious organizations are truly churches and which religious organizations are not churches. You know, the IRS gives itself that power. And they determine that the Church of Satan is a religious organization that therefore is a 501c3, but they can determine a church that preaches the gospel is not a religious organization, therefore not, you know. No church of Jesus Christ should ever bring itself under the authority of the IRS or of the federal government. They should remain what they truly are, free churches under the Lord Jesus Christ, and the First Amendment is their guarantee of security against the federal government encroaching upon their God-given rights. Remember when Jesus was questioned by a bunch of lawyers about taxation? They said, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar? And Jesus, understanding their crafty trickery trying to trap him, said, bring me a coin. They brought him a coin, and he said to them, he asked them, whose image and superscription is on this coin? Oh, and they said, well, Caesar's. Jesus said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Now compare what belongs to Caesar. Jesus was saying Caesar has a limited jurisdiction. Compare that with what belongs to God. God owns it all. All of our allegiance should be to him. He has a far greater claim upon our life and our civil government than Caesar does. But Jesus was saying that Caesar has a rightful role, but don't render to Caesar that which belongs to God. So what is the Church of Jesus Christ? Does it belong to Caesar, or does it belong to God? Well, quite clearly, it's the Church of Jesus Christ. Scripture clearly says he is the head, he is the Lord of the church. It is his bride. It's his. It does not belong to Caesar in any church that has rendered to Caesar that which belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Has committed an atrocity, a religious atrocity here. And the craftiness of the federal government to trap churches into becoming 501c3 or incorporated organizations gives them enormous power over those churches. The threat of shutting the church down, the threat of taking the church's money, the threat of all these things only come when the church surrenders its God-given authority, its God-given jurisdiction by becoming a 501c3 religious organization or by becoming incorporated. No church should do that, and if they don't do that, then they have the First Amendment protection that says the federal government cannot prohibit the free exercise of religion, providing that their religious expression is not criminal, like a murder or something like that. Furthermore, that the federal government has no right to interfere in the internal workings of that church, including what is preached from the pulpit. One of the interesting things that most pastors never hear is that if they become a 501c3, they know that that means, oh, they cannot promote a specific candidate for election. Like, vote for Joe Schmo here. They can't say that from the pulpit. They know that. But what they don't know is that they also cannot and are not permitted by the IRS to advance or to inhibit any piece of legislation. That is, the pastor is not supposed to, under 501c3 regulations, not supposed to say to his congregation, there's a piece of legislation the state or government's considering or the federal government's considering that is an abomination, it's evil, you should call your congressman, call your representative, and urge them to vote against it or urge them to vote for something that's good. They're not supposed to do that. 501c3 says they do not have permission to do that. In other words, the 501c3 is a gag on churches from the pulpit as to what they can say and what they can't say. Time and time again, when pastors come to realize this, they realize they have been duped into accepting a gag for some supposed government mess of pottage that is not worth it at all, and they do well to get out of that altogether. At IOTC, we just put a DVD together that I did a lecture on this very subject, that should churches become 501c3 or incorporated entities, and that should be available very shortly here in our web store. So if people are further interested in that subject, they can avail themselves of that information.
Well, David, I hope you'll send me one. Maybe we'll even keep it here, and offer it to Radio Liberty, because
yes.
I think it's such an important issue. And I often have people call me, even ministers calling me, wanting to know more information on that subject. And you really don't have to be a 501c3 to be tax exempt, do you?
No, because the IRS even says in their own documentation, Publication 557, that churches that do not have a 501c3, nonetheless, their contributions can be deducted from taxes by the contributors, and the church is not subject to any taxation whatsoever. And so the advantage of becoming a 501c3 is nil, actually, if you understand the details of what the IRS says in their own documentation. And in that DVD, we show you the actual IRS documents where it says that, the page number and so forth, so you can see for yourself what the IRS themselves are admitting. A church doesn't have to accept a 501c3 to have their donations be tax deductible.
Well, we're just about out of time. One more time, I want you to get your telephone number out and your website.
Our telephone number is 1-866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. And our website is iotconline.com.
God bless. Thanks so much. We'll
God
talk
bless.
To you later, David.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our Founding Fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout, developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Shelly, you look exhausted. What's wrong?
I am so tired. I just get so hot at night and can't sleep. I have tried everything. All kinds of fans, sheets, pillows. You name it, I've tried it.
My husband has always been a hot sleeper. He's never had a good night's sleep. Then we discovered something that really helped. It's called the Bedfan Personal Cooling System.
The what?
The Bedfan Personal Cooling System. It will keep you cool all night long and will work for everyone that sleeps hot, no matter what the reason. You can see it at bedfan.com.
How well are you sleeping? Are you getting the rest your body needs? Sleep disorder centers across the country recommend that you must stay cool to get a good night's sleep. The Bedfan will keep you cool and give you the restful sleep you deserve. With our 30-day 100% guarantee, you risk nothing. Are you a hot sleeper? Is your partner a hot sleeper? Or are you looking for the perfect gift for that person who has everything? The Bedfan is the answer. Visit us today at www.bedfan.com. That's www.bedfan.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we really depend upon those of you who listen to our program who agree with our message to help us. And if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Now, of course, we do carry information on the Constitution, and to understand it, we suggest books like Betrayed by the Bench by John Stormer. That's Betrayed by the Bench by John Stormer. Original Intent by David Barton. The four tape set we have called The Foundations of Our Freedom. Bill Federer's book, America's God and Country. That's America's God and Country. We have a book on the Wall of Separation, just going into the background of the so-called Wall of Separation between Church and State. And lastly, let me suggest the book The Abandonment Theology, written by John Chalfont. These and many other books are available from Radio Liberty. We do have one unusual document. It's called The Founding Document. It's put out by Chuck Baldwin. It's about 2 inches thick. It's 50, actually, of the original documents from the Constitution to the goodbye address, farewell address, George Washington's farewell address, to many of the most important addresses, the Mayflower Compact, Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, the great documents here in America's heritage, and they're all put together in one convenient document. It's, as I say, it's very, very well done. And if you'd like to get a copy of it, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, that's The Founding Documents. The Founding Documents. You really want to have that, and you want to refer to it frequently if it shares freedom. And again, the books Betrayed by the Bench by John Stormer, going into the background of the Supreme Court and what they've done. And then, of course, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you should, because we are the only people who explain to you that the reason that they took God and prayer out of our schools was because of the Masonic influence of the Supreme Court. But you can't be told that. Your ministers aren't going to tell you. Your political leaders aren't going to tell you, because they're all afraid of the retribution that comes from exposing of the spiritual forces that are engineering everything today. And then, of course, The Original Intent by David Barton, excellent book. And, of course, The Abandonment Theology, America's God and Country, and The Wall of Separation. All of these books are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. Our four tape set on The Foundations of Our Freedom. All of this information will help you to begin to understand what's going on. And if you'd like to get some of the tapes of my interviews with Pastor David Whitney, we can make those available to you. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you will want to get more information on the spiritual aspect of what's going on. And, of course, you can get that from my newsletters. If you want to know who's really running America and why they're doing what they're doing, you need to get our August and September newsletters. And you can get them on our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Or if you'd like, of course, to don't have access to it, we'll be glad to send you a free copy at 1-800-544-8927. If you want to understand what's happening as far as the illegal immigration is concerned, you need to get the new four-tape set, Globalism, The Secret Threat, interviews with Dr. Jerome Corsi. You need to get his book, Minuteman. You need to get the book, Fighting Immigration Anarchy, or the DVD on The Conquest of Ashland. Because, believe me, they're looking at your homes if you're living in the Southwest, and they're deciding who's going to get your home. And then, of course, you need to understand who's funding it all. It's the great tax-exempt foundations. You need the book, Foundations, Their Power and Influence. You need to go to our website. You'll get information you won't get elsewhere. 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Because we are at war. America is under attack today. And you hang on there. We're going to be back here in just a moment with one of my favorite guests.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you can have greater exposure to these chemicals by taking hot showers than when you drink the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate, and others are absorbed through the skin. The KDF shower filter is designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus in your shower. The media is non-toxic, environmentally sound, and is recyclable. The KDF shower filter will typically last 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants...
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it is going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that determines what the future will bring. And I have to remind you of the views that are expressed here and not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And we ordinarily welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have us on the line, one of my favorite guests, Nancy Levant. And we're going to be talking about one of her recent articles, which you can find at newswithviews.com. That's newswithviews.com. And it goes into the background of the technocrats who already are running things. And you have to understand there are people who don't believe in freedom, who have a different worldview. They believe we need people to rule and control us, common folks. And there is an organized effort to establish a massive bureaucracy that will regulate every aspect of human endeavor and crush the human spirit. And until we understand that this is all unconstitutional, these people have no right to do what they're doing, but they're very, very clever and they're very well organized, and they have a different worldview because they worship a different God. And when you understand what energizes these people, you can begin to understand what is truly going on today. And with that as a background, Nancy, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me back, Dr. Monteith.
Will you go up and pick up the story there?
Well, this article that you're referencing is, I refer to the times that we're entering as another Dark Ages. And I think that it's very accurate, because in the former Dark Ages, people literally believed in a monster around every corner. They were ruled with an iron fist by another aristocracy, and history is repeating. The difference today is that we live in a highly, highly technological society, and a society that I suspect we don't even realize just how technological it has become. I would guess that there are many, many technological secrets that we simply don't yet understand. But we have the repeating of history in that, again, we have the wealthiest people in the world dictating to the rabble, meaning us. And they have invented this new system of government under a new system, a new legal system, which is actually called communitarian law. And it is a government of the rich, for the rich, and by the rich. And a part of this government, in order to secure themselves and to ensure their sustainable futures, much of this new system of governance is specifically invented to control the rabble, or the common man.
And I think what's so important, I have nothing against people being rich. I'd like to be rich myself. But the thing is that the rich people are using government to destroy their opposition and to increase their riches at the expense of the common people. And this was never meant to be.
Was never meant to be in this country.
And, of course, the thing is that the history of mankind is always men trying to be free and the ruling aristocracy trying to enslave them. And during the Middle Ages, we had something known as feudalism. We had people of great wealth, and then we had the serfs. And increasingly, we're moving towards a two-tiered society, away from a middle class, towards a society like they have in Mexico, with the very wealthy, and then everybody else being very, very poor. And we'll be right back with Nancy Levon. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Nancy Levon, who certainly is one of my favorite guests, and we have a number of interviews with Nancy, and hopefully we'll have a lot more with her. But she's written a recent article on newswithviews.com. Now, if you don't go there, you need to. There are only a few sites up there on the Internet that are really quite good, and I don't agree with everything on News with Views, but I agree with most of it, and I hope my listeners are observant enough and smart enough to realize when things are good and when they're bad. But most of the articles that Paul Walter, who's a personal friend, puts up there are good, and he certainly carries Dr. Cuddy's views, Nancy Levant's views. He even carries my articles when we put them up there. And you can go over on the left side, see Nancy's name, and pull down their articles because they're all insightful. I've never met Nancy, but I feel I know her because what she writes certainly echoes my very feelings. And she's written an article recently on the fact we're moving into a new dark ages. You see, at one time, why, the Americans believed in freedom and cherished freedom, but now we look to government to protect us from the wicked Osama bin Laden, who's living in a cave over in Pakistan, plotting our demise, and that's why we've got to have more government lives to take away our freedom, because if we don't go along with that, Osama bin Laden's going to get you. Well, just between you and me, I have information from key people who really are in the ruling elite who admit that Osama bin Laden's probably been dead for a couple of years, but we can't tell the common rabble that because they have to have someone to fear to rally them behind the ruling elite who are going to protect us from the boogeyman or Osama bin Laden, or call it what you will. Maybe at one time it was communism. Of course, people never mention the fact that communism was financed from here in the United States. The great tax-exempt foundations were funding it here. The corporations and the banks were funding it over in Russia. You needed an enemy to rally the people behind government. Now we have a new enemy. It's terrorism. We're fighting terrorism, whatever that means. Well, I'm going to let Nancy go ahead and pick up the story here. Go ahead, Nancy.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, yes, we all of a sudden find ourselves in the United States of America with the news media and a public school system that keeps talking about all of these boogeymen, all of these monsters behind every corner in the United States of America. We have the terrorism scare. We have the pandemic flu scare. We have the...
Hold that thought. We'll let you bring up the scare in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Nancy's just saying we have all these scares. We have the terrorist scare. We have the pandemic flu scare. Oh, the bird influenza is going to get us if we don't watch out. And go ahead, Nancy.
We have the potential stock market scare. And the truth of the matter is what we need to be frightened of are the people that are in power in this country and the ignorance of the American public. These are the two things that we need to be most frightened of. We have arrived really at the crossroads of our freedom, literally at the crossroads. What is happening is all of these potential scares are covering legislation, number one, that continue to remove our rights to own property, continue to chip away at our rights to our Second Amendment, and if we lose our rights to keep and bear arms, if we lose our rights to call forth the state militias, if we lose our rights to private property, then, just as you said, Dr. Monteith, what we have is feudalism. We become people who live on lands that belong to others. Only by their good graces do we live on these lands. When you lose property, you also lose the right to natural resources such as water. And you literally become enslaved to the owners of these lands. If you do what they say, and if you produce wealth for them, you may be allowed to live and to have water and to have food that is grown on their land, not yours. But what if you're one of us? What if you don't believe in what they're doing? What if you do not support a government of the rich, for the rich, and by the rich? What if you do not care to spend your life enriching elites? Then what happens to you? And where are you going to live? And who's going to allow you to live there? And we need to, as a country and as a people, remember that the most important thing is that we need to be united behind the principle of freedom. It's really just that simple.
And, of course, there's nothing wrong with somebody being rich. I mean, but it is how they utilize that riches, and if they use it to give more power to the government so that it destroys their opposition, and this is what the oil companies do, they finance the environmental movement to destroy the opposition, to prevent the development of nuclear power, to make us dependent on fossil fuels, and then, of course, to try to scare us to death about the danger of global warming. But in the final analysis, we find out that there is a small elect few who are manipulating almost everything that's going on. And one thing that the oil companies do is by financing the environmental movement, they can get the environmentalists to keep other people from developing oil here and driving the price down. They don't want competition. They want to utilize the government to prevent competition. And it's not just the oil companies. It's happening in every realm of life. There's nothing wrong with competition. I believe in competition. But when government is used to stop competition, that, of course, when we get into real problems. And that's exactly what's going on. And that is why, of course, as things are going on today, we're seeing an organized effort to ship America's manufacturing and jobs overseas, which is going to destroy the middle class. We find an organized effort to destroy our monetary system, which is going to impoverish the older people who are depending upon their savings and their bonds and their annuities and their all of the things they have in monetary increments to carry them through their lives. And you're going to end up with a two-tiered society like they have in Mexico,
yes,
with very rich and very poor.
Yes, that is exactly right. And, you know, we simply have to unite behind the principles that our Constitution has provided to us, and we need to realize that any time you are allowing aristocrats, and particularly global aristocrats, into the American places of power, it's guaranteed, historically, it's historically guaranteed that you are going to, that the common man, that the middle class, is going to lose out to these people. This is history. This is world history. It's not just American history. And, you know, the one thing that I feel that people forget in history over and over and over again is that you cannot admire, you do not equate great genius and great brilliance with great wealth. It's simply a terrible and tragic mistake. And unfortunately in America, because of television and because of the public school systems, that is exactly how we think. We continue to elect wealthy, wealthy, wealthy people. We continue to support these same families, even in our nation, that have been ultimately responsible decade after decade for the destruction of the freedom of the common man.
And, of course, what they do is when they get into power of people like Dianne Feinstein, and then, of course, she shuttles things around so that they benefit people in her party, as she has done through the years. And, of course, there was a situation in South America, probably in Southern California, where some very, very valuable land with a great deal of gold on it was sort of shuttled over so her husband could buy that. But nobody ever points that out. The media is not going to tell you about the corruption of Dianne Feinstein or any of the other people we have in positions of power in this country. The Bush family is one of the largest holders of private property in communist China. And Prescott Bush, George Herbert Walker's Bush, apparently has all sorts of land, ideal land, right along the Chinese coast. Most people can't buy land over there, but the Bush family can. Maybe that's why the Bush family, George Herbert Walker Bush, refused to do anything after the Tiananmen Square. You remember Tiananmen Square in 1989 and the slaughter of the people there? And, of course, George Herbert Walker Bush actually rewarded the Chinese communist tyrants who had slaughtered probably close to 10,000 people, not only in this square but across the country, rose up by giving the most favored nation status, trade status. Why would he do that? Because his family is in bed with the Chinese communists, but we can't let the American people know that any more than we can ask. Get them to ask why Bill Clinton gave some of our most sensitive military secrets having to do with targeting of our missiles to the Chinese communists, supposedly for a campaign contribution of $100,000. If anybody believes that, they're incredibly naive. People really don't understand the close working relationship between some of our most powerful families and this elite that rules the world.
No, that is absolutely true. People need to, for instance, look up the current roster of the Council on Foreign Relations. And you need to go down through that roster. You need to look at those names of the people who are a member of that organization, same with the Trilateral Commission. And you will realize that these are the people who are running this country and who are paying, their foundations are paying these think tank organizations like the Brookings Institute and the Aspen Institute to literally write the legislation that is removing the rights of American people and disassembling the Constitution.
I thought it was so interesting just yesterday when, of course, Robert Gates was appointed to replace Donald Rumsfeld as Secretary of Defense. And not one of the commentators mentioned that, of course, Robert Gates has been a member of the Council on Foreign Relations for 20 or 30 years. They mentioned he was with the CIA.
Absolutely.
And the other organizations, but they never mentioned his membership in the Council on Foreign Relations, which was a front for a secret society that was created by Cecil Rhodes in 1891, and anybody who wants to document that, written up by Bill Clinton's mentor, Professor Carol Quigley, a professor at Harvard and at Princeton before he became a professor at Georgetown University, and was Bill Clinton's mentor. It is on page, as I remember, 951, 952 of Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. And most people have no idea that the Council on Foreign Relations is simply a front for an international power elite.
Oh, absolutely. It absolutely is. And, you know, the names on those rosters are terribly important for the American people to know, because these are the people that are the American branch of the global government. And, you know, for instance, let me just tell your listeners, one day I decided to type in Paul Wolfowitz's name into my search engine. Now, Paul Wolfowitz has been involved in American politics and has held extremely high levels under several presidents. He's not an old man. And I decided to type in his name and also resume, the word resume, just to see if I could find his resume. Well, guess what? I did. And if you look at the resumes of such people, it is absolutely bizarrely impossible that these people in, say, a 25-year career have achieved what they have achieved. The Council on Foreign Relations is the most incestuous organization you have ever seen. What happens is people will become, they're asked to become a member of the council. And then let's say that they're moved out and their membership ends, and then they become a president. And then that, and then their presidential term ends, and then they go in and they head a major corporation, and they slide right back into the council again. And it is the most incredible thing to look at the careers of the people in the Council on Foreign Relations, and they literally step in and out of politics, of academia, the highest positions in academia, CEOs of corporations, and then they go right back in.
And in fact, Mr. Robert Gates, who's going to become the new Secretary of Defense, just happened to come to be the president of one of our major universities after he left, of course, the Defense Intelligence Agency,
absolutely,
after he left the CIA. Then he becomes, president of a university, and now, of course, he's the Secretary of Defense, like musical chairs.
Absolutely. It's exactly how that organization works. And the Council on Foreign Relations really is the power base of the United States of America.
Well, you know, it's really very interesting, Nancy. If you can go up on their website and type in Council on Foreign Relations website, type in history CFR. They have a section there in their own website where they quote people who have examined this and point out that literally half of all the important positions in our federal government belong to members of the CFR. And then they went on to quote one of the people who is a member of their organization who said, belonging to the Council on Foreign Relations is sort of a rite of passage, into the elite. Those are the words on their website, not what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
But, of course, the average American doesn't understand that there really is this ruling elite right now. There are about 4,000 members, and they literally control all of the key positions in our government.
That's exactly true. And, you know, Britain has its, the United Kingdom has its own version of the United Kingdom through the City of London and the central banking system over there. And, I mean, it's just really quite extraordinary. As soon as you start to understand what political power really means, we understand that our elections are actually rather humorous.
In fact, you know, it's so interesting. In England, why the organization, the counterpart of the Council on Foreign Relations, is known as the Royal Institute of International Affairs. It publishes a magazine called International Affairs.
Yes.
The Council on Foreign Relations publishes Foreign Affairs. The International Communist Movement publishes Political Affairs.
Yep.
And they all want the same thing. They want a one-world government under a ruling elite.
Under themselves.
Right.
Under themselves. And really, there are a few very, very key families. They control the banks. They control the property. They control the United Nations. You know, all of these systems that they set up, they control the World Bank. Paul Wolfowitz, an American, is now head of the World Bank. You know, it's really, people need to realize that the President of the United States, the Vice President of the United States, whoever, these people work for the Council on Foreign Relations. Their candidates for political office are groomed at Yale University in the secret societies like Skull and Bones. They have a system of developing power, of choosing the people they want. And it's Democrats and Republicans. This is something that the American people don't understand. Bill Clinton was a part of them, of the Council on Foreign Relations. The Bush family has been a part. It's not a matter of, oh, well, it's the Democrats, or, oh, well, it's the Republicans. No, 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 no. It's both, which certainly, you know, makes our election results currently very interesting. Because basically what we're going to see is no change whatsoever because the globalists still have control.
Well, of course, they may be able to get through their amnesty bill because this is what George Bush really wants. He couldn't get it through the Republicans. So he was able to dump a lot of the Republicans, the conservative Republicans, of course, who wanted to maintain our freedom and did not want to give amnesty, did not want to destroy the sovereignty of our nation. But now probably working with the Democrats will be able to accomplish it, and we're going to stay right on in Iraq. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Nancy Lovatt, who's really one of my favorite guests. And although I've never met Nancy, I feel I know her. So you go ahead and talk about what's going on, Nancy. And this whole idea that we really have a group of technocrats who are ruling us. They form a vast bureaucracy at the state, at the federal, and even at the local level. But they all interlock, and their goal is control of the serfs.
Absolutely. And, you know, the most frightening aspect to me is the technologies that have been developed. They do have, the war technologies are really terrifying. The spying technologies are horrifying. The chipping technologies, or the RFID chips, the subdermal chipping technologies are horrifying. And, you know, it's all leading to the same place. All of these technologies are used against people. They're used against people. That's what they're for. And now we have, you know, we've got the, in a year and a half, I believe, the RFID, or the, what am I thinking of here?
You're probably thinking of the ID card.
Yes, the national ID.
And it'll have an RFID chip in it.
Yeah, absolutely. We have CEOs of large companies who are encouraging their employees to get chipped. We already know that the banking industry, we're right around the corner from being able to, either through chips or through iris scans or fingerprints or however they want to do it, that we're not there through. That we're not going to have to use bank cards anymore. We're just going to use our bodies
and
to get our money.
And you know, I think it's so funny the way they have these programs on television. People who watch television have seen it. They have a man who talks like a woman, a woman who talks like a man, and they say,
yeah.
"Oh yes, well, identity theft. What are you going to do to protect yourself from identity theft?" And
well, then that's another monster around the corner.
And, of course, then we hear about how the Veterans Administration, they're just so incompetent, they're always losing computers that have the name of 27 million veterans on them. And then I get a letter from the Veterans Administration saying, somebody may have stolen your identity when they stole the computer. And then my son, you know, gets a letter, because we're both veterans, we both served in the military, and they're playing games with our minds. How are we going to protect ourselves from identity theft? Why? And a chip, then they will know exactly who we are. We will know who we are, and they will know who we are, and pretty soon they'll be able to track our every movement.
Absolutely. And, you know, in Europe, it's gone even much farther. They have what they call panoptical technologies. And basically, there is a camera on every corner. They have some type of technology where every time a car goes by, a license plate can be read through an RFID chip. It means that we lose there is no privacy. It doesn't exist. You know, Fourth Amendment is gone.
And, of course, they developed all this sophisticated satellite technology, supposedly for spying on the wicked communists over there. Most people do not know that going back to 1918, the American Federal Reserve System, American banks, and American corporations have constantly funded communism because it really isn't efficient and would have collapsed long ago had it not been for constant infusion of monetary aid and technology from the West. And, of course, but that technology has been developed not to spy on the Russians, but to spy on you. And so they can look at your property on a regular basis. They can, if you're a farmer, they can count, you know, the number of cattle or sheep that you have. They can even tell whether or not you have the proper chemicals in your fields. Isn't it wonderful what they have out there? And yet, of course, when I talk to the people down there, we're concerned about illegal immigration. And you know how they're tracking the people coming across the border? Why, they have trucks that go up and down the dusty roads pulling tires behind them to take out all the footprints. And then when there are new footprints there, they can track the people who come across. Do you really think they're trying to stop the immigration? They've got all sorts of technology they could use, and they're not using it. Go ahead.
That's exactly true. And, you know, another thing that really, really bothers me. You know, the elitist movement and the entire history of aristocrats, they believe in very pure bloodlines. They have frequently intermarried to maintain those bloodlines. Now, it's very interesting that multiculturalism is being shoved down the throats of this country. Now, what's interesting about that is there is no more multicultural nation in the world than the United States of America. We were a country of immigrants. We are intermixed. In my family, my goodness, we're Irish, German, English, Dutch. We're everything. We're absolutely everything. You name it. It's in my family.
Hold that thought there, Nancy. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Nancy was just saying that they're trying to, of course, push down this whole idea of multiculturalism onto our society, and yet we are a multicultural society.
We've
joined together as Americans. We've developed a common culture and developed a common language, but that's not what they want.
Yes, and what's scary to me is the elites of the world and the aristocrats of the world have in the past and continue to sponsor the science of eugenics. And they call it by different names now, but it is nonetheless a study of genes and of gene pools, and their goal is to figure out which ones are the best and to create the best. And in America, we are actually diametrically opposed to everything that the elites and the aristocrats have stood for in history and continue to stand for, because we are so multicultural and culturally intermixed here. We are actually probably more mutts in America than any other nation on earth, because we are a country of massive, massive immigrants and immigration. That's our entire history. And what concerns me is that, you know, why are they taking America down? Because clearly they are. They're disassembling this country and this country's government. And the people are being put under a feudalistic system. But the question is why? Why especially so much here when this country has been so successful? Well, one reason may be the fact that we are so intermixed. It is not what the elite families of the world appreciate. They don't appreciate it genetically. We are really kind of the definition of commoner in this country, because we are so intermixed nationally. And, you know, I find it just very interesting that in a country that has gained so much power and gained so much wealth, that this really bothered the elitists of the world, even the American elitists of the world, to the point where they have all come together to literally disassemble this country. Now, a part of the problem is that the common man, quote-unquote, attained so much freedom here and had so much opportunity and did, in fact, attain so much wealth that I think that this frightened the aristocrats of the world. And I think that they are literally trying to push us back in our place.
Well, hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Nancy Levant. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Nancy Levant. And Nancy, you've written a wonderful book on feminism. And how can people get the newsletters you've written? How can they get hold of a copy of your book if they'd like?
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. The book is called The Cultural Devastation of American Women. It can be found at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. Really, any of the online booksellers. It can be ordered through any bookstore in the United States. And I hope people will give it a try for Christmas. It is American women have been so terribly targeted by basically the globalist partnerships in the world, meaning the radical feminist movement and the depopulation movement, particularly We must always remember that 50 million American people have been aborted. And when you have a very purposeful depopulation plan through the United Nations and through environmental movements and through the feminist movements, American women need to take this to heart, because when depopulation is the plan, that means that a lot of control of women is coming down the pike. And a whole lot of American people's lives have been ended because of this movement.
My wife points out that we sell your book, Nancy. I thought we'd gotten copies of it, so we do sell the book. Give that a name out once again, and then we'll tell people they can get it by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. It's a great book. We really enjoy it and reading it. I think everybody out there, listening audience, especially the women, will benefit from it. Once again, the title of your book, which you can get, of course, from Radio Liberty now.
It is called The Cultural Devastation of American Women, and I really think that it's a great Christmas gift for any woman of any age.
And it's a good book to read. I enjoyed reading it. I know Barbara has enjoyed reading it as well. So, well, go ahead, let's pick up this story. We're talking really about what's going on and how there really is an attack on America. And as you pointed out, there is a conscious, organized effort to destroy the financial makeup of our society. There's an organized effort to impoverish the American people. People are not aware of it now, other than the fact that maybe we have inflation and our wages aren't keeping up with it, and now certainly both men and women have to work to be able to maintain our living standards. But as time goes by, and I fear probably in the next year or so, as the economy contracts and people have increasingly difficulty, keeping a job or keeping up the payments on their home or their car, and most Americans are pretty well in debt, I believe that we're going to see some very dramatic economic changes in America as our people begin raising their living standards to that of the Mexican peasant. I think that's exactly the plan to impoverish our people.
Well, I think it is too. And I think that there's a couple of things that I think are going to happen simultaneously, and they're happening now by degree. Impoverishing the people, yes. Also taking all private property rights away one way or another. They're going to make it so people cannot afford to buy or pay their taxes, or there will be some horrific event where martial law will be declared. And we will be, large populations will be forced to move, which is happening all over the country all the time now with every single natural disaster. All of a sudden, every time there's a quote-unquote natural disaster, these military systems come in and they make people leave. I mean, every time there's a storm, every time there's a flood. When did this start? Right after 9/11. And, it's just very interesting what's going on. So you're going to see impoverished, continued unemployment. You're going to see continued difficulty just making ends meet. You're going to see continued powers of eminent domain. And people simply being unable to afford to buy property. And then, of course, we have all of this conservation issues coming in, with more and more and more land being bought up and into biosphere reserves or World Heritage sites or whatever they are under the guise of conservation, and more land, even the possibility to buy land is being taken away because it's all being designated with some historical designation or some environmental designation. And, clearly, if we do not own land, then we're going to live on land that somebody else owns.
And I think it's so important for people to understand that the real goal is sustainable development, and they want sustainable communities where you will live in a small community, in a small apartment, where you can be watched and monitored.
Yes, correct.
It's going to make it increasingly difficult for people to live, outside the urban areas. They don't want to get you out of the rural areas. They're using the threat of the shortage of water. Oh, we're running out of water. My goodness, we're running out of water. Why, we can't have all the people living out in the woods and using all that water. And then, of course, we're polluting the air. We've got global warming. We just got to do something, to have more regulation of the people. We have to decrease consumption of energy. We've got to decrease consumption of fossil fuels because this is not a replenishable entity. And of course, nobody ever talks about we have hundreds of years of oil they know about, but they're trying to scare us to death. We can't use nuclear power. Everybody else in the world can use it, but we can't use nuclear power because we don't know what to do with, of course, the spent nuclear fuel rods. We're not allowed to do what everybody else does, and that is reprocess them. Oh, we couldn't do that. And the whole thing, the American people don't understand. They create the crises so that they can control us. They don't want a solution. They want to control us.
Well, and another really important point to make is every time, the U.N. swoops in and grabs up another biosphere reserve in the United States, or every time the Nature Conservancy goes and buys another 10,000 acres someplace, the first thing those organizations do is road removals. They rip the roads out. And so, we lose access to those. I mean, we permanently lose access to those areas. We can't get in because they take the roads out. Now, this is going on all over this country. There are 47 biosphere reserve designations in the United States of America, and that thing is administered by the United Nations. Not by us. It's by the United Nations. Now, we simply have to get it through our thick skulls that this country is being taken away, and it's being taken away by organizations like the Council on Foreign Relations and their political puppets, like presidents and congressmen and senators. We need to get this through our heads. We also need to understand that our state governors are thick as thieves with these people. Now, what are we going to do? That's the question. What are we going to do? First of all, we have to understand the real power source in this country. Second of all, we need to gather together as American people, united as American people under one banner, and that banner is freedom, period, freedom. And then we need to literally run these people out. As far as I'm concerned, they need to be run out of this country. But the America, unless there are millions of us behind the same principle, unless there are millions of us that want to be free people, then they win. That's just the bottom line. There has to be all of us united. And we need to tell these people that we're not going for this, that we're not going for the biosphere reserves, we're not going for these with the national ID, we're not going for chipping, we're not going for the Patriot Act, we are not going for this stuff, because it takes away our freedoms.
And people have gotten to the Military Commission Act, the Patriot Act,
the Homeland Security Act,
the John Warner Defense Appropriations Act. Which
it's endless.
And all of this is done in the name of fighting the wicked terrorists. No, it's not. I mean, if they were really fighting the wicked terrorists, they would have sealed our border and stopped the catch-and-release program at the border a long time ago. They're not fighting terrorism. This is all aimed at taking away the freedom of the American people, but they cannot let the American people know that. And if you really believe there's a terrorist threat in America, I suggest you get the magazine read by the ruling elite. The September-October issue of Foreign Affairs magazine, you'll recognize the cover because their logo is a man riding a white horse. But of course, the leading article is on why haven't they hit us again, referring to the terrorists, and the conclusion is, there really isn't much of a terrorist threat at all. But, of course, they're not going to tell you, the average American, what they tell the elite. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Our guest is Nancy Levant. Go ahead, Nancy.
Well, another thing, we have to watch very, very carefully. The UN is in the works to try to, through an international law, disarm everyone. You take away land, and then you disarm the people, and then you have serfs. That's just it. You have very, very vulnerable serfs, by the way. And the UN is, in fact, the politicians in this country do not have the guts to try to disarm this country. And so what's happening is the UN is trying to do it through international law, which trumps national law. And so we have to watch for this. There are certain things that the American people are going to have to stand together on and say absolutely no way. One of them is we're not going to be disarmed, and number two is we're not going to be ruled we're not going to be ruled over by aristocrats. We've been there, we've done that in history, and it's not happening again. But we have to be united people.
And of course, you have to be informed people before they will unite, because most people would rather go along and get along and not rock the boat, because everything's so good now. But it's not going to be for long.
No, everything is not so good now. Everyone knows. If I would say that if you're over the age of 40, you know how life has deteriorated. You know how your rights have deteriorated. You know how your food and your water has deteriorated. And pretty soon, all the people who are 30 are going to realize it too. And at that point in time, you know, we really, really, really need young people to come on board and understand what has happened here. You know, but they've been very damaged by the public school system. They've been very manipulated. They've been extremely manipulated in the universities and by television. But eventually they're going to get it. Because freedom is the essence of what we stand for. If we're going to be our same mutt American selves, who are free to disagree and be individuals and be individualistic people, then we've got to understand that freedom matters.
Well, I think there are an awful lot of people, of course, that right now are just sort of going along with the system, and I think you're absolutely right. We have to create an awareness. I will tell you one of the things that's encouraged in me, Nancy, and that is that a lot of the young people are very, very concerned about what happened on 911. They know we have not been told the truth. There are a lot of people who don't want to admit that, because that would have to jar them out of their complacency to think that there were 3,000 Americans who died, and that everything has been done to block an independent evaluation. But if we don't want to dishonor those people, why, we've got to demand an independent investigation. And I find more young people are concerned about that than the older ones, who just as soon not think about the possibility, the implications of the fact that 3,000 people died, and there were military exercises that morning, and they were chasing some 26 hijackings on the monitors. Somebody in the intelligence agencies was planting images on those screens, and it's only recently that we've been able to get hold of the NORAD tapes and find out what really happened. And the 911 Commission and the Joint Intelligence Committee investigation all lied and concealed that talk from the American people, but the truth is coming out. If we can get the American people to question what happened that morning and to realize the implications of the murder of almost 3 million Americans, then maybe we can begin to get the people to understand what lies ahead.
Well, God bless those young people, and I hope they figure it out, because let me tell you, our enemy in this whole thing really is the declaration of martial law. This is a terribly, this is scary stuff here. The martial law system is up. It's in place. There have been multi executive orders that have set this system in place over multi-pregnancies, presidencies, not just one. And so we have to understand that martial law system is real. It's real. If you want to read some, just type martial law, executive orders into your search engine. Those words, martial law, executive orders, and go read it and weep. And this is our enemy. The closer we get to uncovering the truth of 9/11, uncovering the truth of what the elites in this country and in other countries are doing. This is kind of their ace in the hole, or at least they believe it to be.
Well, you know, it's very interesting that Patrick Leahy, Senator Patrick Leahy, is a Democrat from Vermont, has actually said that the new legislation that was passed just last month will encourage the President of the United States to declare federal martial law. And we're talking specifically about the John Warner Defense Appropriations Act and, of course, the Military Commission Act. And the fact that this is not being discussed, you know, certainly in the general media, simply is a reflection of the degree of control that exists over what the American people think. But I would suggest that for the skeptic out there in the audience, you go up on your computer and type in Halliburton, $385
million,
and detention camps. And you ask yourself, why did the Bush administration give Halliburton $385 million to build detention camps? Because he said, you know, we can't round up all those illegal aliens and send them back. So if we're not going to use it for illegal aliens, what are they planning?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, another thing that they can type into their search engines is type in the word United States Army, comma, civilian labor camps. You're going to find the same thing in there. You're going to find all types of information from the U.S. Army's website about the civilian labor camps in the United States of America that are, in fact, here.
And, of course, for anybody who'd like, we actually have those official government documents. We send them out with anybody who either gets our concentration camp, four-tape special, that's a concentration camp, four-tape special, or if you get the concentration camp four-tape set. This is the material, government documents. It's all laid out. It's all planned. And in fact, when you get that set, you'll actually hear Congressman Henry Gonzalez saying, you know, there really is a plan in the case of a national emergency to suspend the Constitution and of course, to arrest American citizens
and
put them in concentration camps. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Nancy Levant to wrap up the program. Well, Nancy, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. Boy, did that hour go fast.
Oh, it certainly does. What I would say to listeners is this. As you find things on the Internet, as you look, and please keep researching, keep reading, please forward these emails to the young people in your families, to the 20-year-olds, to the 30-year-olds. The young people are brave people. They value their freedom even though they really don't understand it because they don't understand their government. That's been taken away from them. But we must help them. We need them. We need them to be researchers. We need their bravery. We need their strength. And to people, if you have children, grandchildren in the military, please forward these things to them because people, we must teach our country. It is the most important thing we can do as citizens at this point in American history. We have to educate each other because we have to once again become united under the principle of our freedom. This is what our country was made for. The framers of our Constitution tried very hard to protect us. But unfortunately, we don't understand the history of our government. We don't really understand our Constitution anymore because it's not taught. And we have to educate each other. And as frustrating as it is, and you send things to people and they don't read it and so on and so forth, you keep sending it. Keep sending it. Because eventually they begin to read some things and they start looking around. And this is how all of us have learned this stuff. You know, one day, just out of the blue, I found Agenda 21 completely by accident. I knew absolutely nothing. And there it was. There it was. The UN document that kind of lays out the plan for how I'm going to lose all of my rights as an American person. And how I am going to become a North American Union citizen rather than a United States of America citizen. And it's all there to be found. And most of your listeners, you know, we always say to each other that we're singing to the choir. Yes, that is true. So the choir must educate the young people in your family. Educate your soldiers in Iraq. We have to help each other to learn. And this is the way that we become united. This is the only way that we can become united. We must protect our freedom.
Amen to that. Well, Nancy, thank you so very much for being with us. We'll have to hope to have you back again sometime real soon.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you've enjoyed Nancy's comments, and I hope you'll want to get her book, which we do carry, and give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Thomas Paine wrote this: those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it. Those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it. These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will in this crisis shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Ladies and gentlemen, we're involved in a spiritual battle for the survival of Western civilization and the souls of men, and most people don't even know what's going on. And we're certainly not being told this by our religious leaders. So many of them, the head of the National Association of Evangelicals, we find out, was a closet homosexual. And he's been replaced by somebody who comes from a group that are pushing contemplative prayer, which comes right out of the New Age notebook. This is a means, of course, introducing the occult into the Protestant church. There are real problems in the Catholic church. There are real problems in the Protestant church. There are very real problems within the Jewish religion. God is under attack today, and belief in God is under attack today. And when you understand that, then everything that's going on makes sense, because this is truly a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, financial and cultural battlefield. If you'd like to learn more about the concentration camps, we have a great 4-tape special. We even have a 4-tape set, and you can get those. And if you specifically request the information on the civilian labor camps, we'll send that to you free of charge. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. But you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or certainly get the information we have on They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. That's a DVD or video, 3-hour, 4-hour, 10-hour version. We have, of course, the video and DVD entitled The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. And all of this will take you into the spiritual forces which are behind this move, not only to destroy America, but to enslave the world and create a one-world government. There are people who tell you, oh, well, you don't have to need to worry. You're a Christian. You're going to be whisked out of here before anything bad happens. And I would say that, where does it say that in the Bible? I mean, this is the sort of thing that they were teaching in Hitler's Germany back in the 30s. You don't have to be involved. Well, I simply like to ask, what happens if America has fallen? And hundreds of millions of people have died, and the rapture comes 50 years from now. What are you going to say to that? How do you think your children are going to respond and feel about the people who have been so dedicated to living the good life, or so fearful that they would not take a stand when freedom was at stake? So we ask you to go to our website of RadioLiberty.com, pull down my August and September newsletters, and find out who really runs America and what their goal is. And we name names. It's all there, and the references are there. And we'd be glad to provide the information if you need it. And then, of course, we ask you, of course, to get the other material that is available at the website, to listen to our programs. You can hear them on the Internet 5 hours every single day. We're on shortwave. We're on satellite 9 hours a day on Telstar 5. And we hope many of you will decide you want to help us as we reach out across America. We have been given a unique opportunity, and what I believe is a unique message, but we can't do it without your help. And so, if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision, and for our protection. And once again, our number 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
Remind those children that one kids class will call in.
Listeners,
that phone
on
number
the Information Radio Network, I'm Laura Lee Shaw. Days after the election, outcomes are still uncertain in eight house
Zachary
races.
Luna of
Sandy Gazelle
City
has the details.
Faith Haley
eight
of
house
Kingman,
races
Arizona.
Remain so without winners, most
kids
with Republican incumbents in tight contests to keep their seat. And state officials are not necessarily rushing to end the dispute. In Ohio, election officials are delaying counting provisional ballots in Congresswoman Deborah Price's race, so it doesn't disrupt the Ohio State-Michigan football game. In Washington State, the count in a suburban Seattle district was delayed by heavy flooding. Sandy Kozell, Washington.
Threats and taunts are in a new audio tape believed to be from the leader of Al-Qaeda in Iraq. He bows his followers' wolf rest into the White House.